Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. Very excited. My guest today, I've been following for about 20 years. He's been on top of what was really going on the planet and spoke out about it when it was not fashionable to be honest and forthright and fearless on TV and radio and everywhere. He's been in and out the government and is a true hero, I believe. Thank you for joining me, Frank Gaffney.
I can't tell you how much that means to me coming from you, Mel. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to have you on today for a million reasons, other than that you've been fighting totalitarianism your entire adult life and have also been inside and outside D.C. But you also, before we get into your current book and where we are right now, a lot of people might have known you from back when, you know, other channels besides Fox had you on regularly talking about things like what was going on in the Middle East, what was going on in Afghanistan, the jihad, the caliphate, all this stuff that people seem to have erased from their memories. Certainly our media does not talk about it. And when I was looking this past few weeks thinking, okay, well, there's three stories in the news, one being that the O'Biden regime, I call them O'Biden because I believe it's the Obama regime, not only at the end of his administration gave pallets of cash to Iran, but that they're now paying them $6 billion for a prisoner swap that we never heard of before. Within the same week, I find out that the Taliban has already gotten about $3 billion since we left Afghanistan, plus Bagram, as you reminded me, and $83 billion of weaponry. And that ISIS is on the rise. And I thought, what does people think that all just ended? And now we're on to Ukraine and the attack of President Trump. So I wanted you to talk about a little bit, what is going on in the Middle East? What is going on with the Muslim Brotherhood and all of their outposts? And what is this about that we are sending money to these people?
Yeah. I honestly believe that we have not only not remembered any of the lessons of 9/11, but we have gone to great lengths to ignore those lessons. The most important one of which is that what we're contending with from this particular strain of totalitarianism is a spiritual direction, as its adherents believe, from Allah, their God, to destroy the non-believers. Subjugate them, yes, but if necessary, destroy them. And the jihadist attack of that memorable day, 9/11, was just one example of the larger purpose that what I call Sharia-adherent Muslims are obliged to pursue. I mean, this isn't, you know, sort of voluntary. They must engage in jihad. It is one of the tenets of the faith. And if they can't personally go kill, you know, the unbelievers, they need to support those who are doing the killing of the unbelievers. You asked about the Muslim Brotherhood, and I'm so glad you did, because they mostly get a pass in all of this. Even when we are thinking about, you know, jihad and terrorism and so on, the Brotherhood, by virtue of the fact that they profess not to be interested in violence, were deemed by I've got a variation on your theme, Obama 1.0 and 2.0, most especially, but also now Obama Biden 3.0,
right,
the current administration, as their partners, the people that they could do business with on the grounds that they eschewed violence. They don't eschew violence. The Muslim Brotherhood thinks that it may not be expedient at the moment to use it, but they're perfectly happy to engage in it when they do think it would be advantageous. And yet, because we have, not you and I, obviously, but officials And I'm sorry to say that I think to some extent it seeped into the Republican administrations too, certainly George W. Bush, to some extent the Trump administration, but not as bad as in these Democratic ones. But still, the notion that people who were interested in stealthy jihad were somehow people that we could do business with, that we could rely upon to help us with the people doing the violent jihad, was utter nonsense. They are all Sharia supremacists. And the Muslim Brotherhood is up to its eyeballs, I believe, in this administration's pursuit in many of the ways that you just discussed. Even, yes, amazingly, I think, given the so-called Sunni-Shiite split,
right,
in encouraging a fixation on helping Iran get out from under sanctions, get the bomb, threaten Israel, threaten Saudi Arabia, otherwise become a problem for us as well, obviously, to say nothing of bringing, in addition to what you mentioned, bringing, what is it, 70,000, maybe 100,000 people who turn out to be probably mostly Taliban into the United States legally, putting them on military bases, putting them into the community, giving them free stuff. I mean, you can't make all of this up. And the only real explanation for it is what I think is kind of the bottom line. I think you agree. We're in the hands of our enemies.
Yeah.
The people running our country do not have the best interests of America at heart.
Yeah. I mean, I fully believe that they that, you know, they want this one party rule no matter what, no matter what they have to do. I see all the people I warned a year before the 2020 election that these people that were involved with this transition integrity project were planning by any means necessary, whatever it was. I don't know what of the spokes of what happened before 2020 over that year came to pass, but they were planning to make sure Trump did not win by any means necessary. And I truly mean by any means necessary. The whole crew of that group, which includes Podesta and Eisen and Dunn and all these people that were involved in the simulation and transition integrity project, are now back planning what they're going to do in 2024, which includes making sure Donald Trump cannot run, or if he does run, they're going to do what they can to everyone around him, lawfare him to death. By any means necessary, Trump cannot win. But I think it's not about Trump. And I wish people would start realizing what it's about is one party rule to end the any dissent. But to me, what people have to understand is that one party is not Democrat. It is globalist. These people have no allegiance to we the people, no allegiance to this nation. They do not care what we think. Lobbyists and NGOs and think tanks have way more power, in my opinion, right now than anyone that is supposedly elected to represent us. And a lot of them are in on the globalist multinational, you know, global governance plans, 2030 plans. So we're at a very strange place. And in that situation, the one party rule that they want in 2024 going forward, to me, is not American. It's globalist. And the question at that point is, which globalists? Because as you said, you heard my interview with Monica Crowley, and we got into it a little. But the truth is, at the very top of this, if you look at the Chinese Communist Party's own writings, own works, own speeches, they will be running the future of the world. And you look at their Belt and Road and what they're doing in Africa and Russia and everywhere. But nobody talks about, well, how does the Muslim Brotherhood, i.e. the entire Islamic jihad run nations, fit into the mix? Because they're acting as if they don't exist right now, when since the war on terror started until, I guess, the pandemic, it's all we heard about. And yeah. Now, just to me, it's very, seems very scary. And I'm seeing just little bits and pieces. And I know you understand this. So how does the powers that be in the Islamic jihad world, that once the caliphate and once all, you know, all non-believers to perish or be slaves, how do they fit into this CCP, World Economic Forum, global governance reset?
I think it helps break the code. If you look at how this ummah, as they call themselves, the Muslim world, is looking at the Chinese Communist Party's genocide of their co-religionists in the Uyghur community in East Turkestan, as the Uyghurs call it, also right. known as Xinjiang by the Chinese. They don't give a damn about those people, is the bottom line. They're giving the Chinese a complete pass on the horrors of, you know, the mass incarceration, the rapes, the torture, the forced organ harvesting, and the outright murder of whatever the number is. They've got about 3 million, we're told, in prison. And how many of those have been murdered so far, I don't know, but it's some substantial number. But the treatment more generally is the kind of thing that you'd think your average jihadist would be up in arms about, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But not so much. To the contrary, they're absolutely in the thick of trying to find ways to lash up with China, whether it's Turkey, the sponsor of the Muslim Brotherhood at the moment, whether it's Saudi Arabia, the previous sponsor of the Muslim Brotherhood, whether it's the Iranians. I mean, all of these guys are as thick as thieves, and I use that term advisedly, with them. And the only thing I can figure, having made a fair effort over many years now to study totalitarianism, and I know you're a fan of Hannah Arendt, as am I, they are going to sort it out once the immediate object that they all share, namely the removal from the current place of impeding their world design, their world ambition, their respective world ambition, namely us, has been removed, and they will work together to that end. And they are at the moment. But once we're gone, you can bet that the Chinese and the World Economic Forum types and the Islamists will be at each other's throats to sort out who actually runs things. And I think I heard you say something to this effect on one of your other podcasts recently, that, you know, the first to go, in my estimation, will be the World Economic Forum guys. They'll be taken to the wall and shot first. And the jihadis will get the Uyghur treatment once the Chinese, you know, decks are clear.
Right. That's what I keep thinking also about this whole situation that's going on. You know, worst of all is that the Obama regime, i.e. the Biden regime, that they all believe are post-America. They have already given to the global governance idea and all of that. I don't believe that they care at all what anyone in this nation thinks. They're doing things, what they are doing with Donald Trump, with all these indictments of this silly nonsense that isn't even really crimes and all of this, in the face of multiple things that people are waking up. Look, if people want to be harsh Democrats and they want to be in that group and they're progressive and they align with Hollywood and the Harvard folk, great. But honestly, real American citizens of all stripes are now looking at this and thinking, this can't be about Donald Trump. And they're spending our money distracting us from everything else going on. All we hear on the main news is about Ukraine and about Donald Trump's supposed crimes, when, you know, we are at a place where people are very aware that nobody from Epstein's, his clients, I mean, nobody's been, even the Clintons have never been questioned. So there's that whole group of people that, you know, have everything to lose and nothing to gain by Donald Trump or anyone else being in power but them. Then you have this whole group of people that, well, they gave all that money to Iran on the way out the door. I'm sure it was not for nothing. And yet nobody's really paying attention to that. And then on top of that, what I see in the Chinese writings and speeches and everything is that they don't believe in God. They don't want God at all in their whole mix, because they are God. So they would never accept, you know, Allah or the Muslim Brotherhood in the end of the day. So it just seems like all kinds of manipulation, and none of it is really makes sense. If you use critical thinking and deductive reasoning, you think like, well, at the end of the day, nobody wins if we don't preserve America now and maintain our position and our power and our get back our integrity and our nation to where it should be. And that means every single person in America really needs to understand the goal is to get rid of us. But after that, the hell on earth that these people will inflict upon each other will be just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, that's what's coming. I just can't help but say applying critical thinking is urgently needed, not to be confused with critical theory, which helps explain what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
This is where we find ourselves. And I just did an interview for our program, Securing America, with Dr. Carol Swain, who's just got a terrific new book out called The Adversity of Diversity. I'd encourage you to have her on, Mel.
Oh, yeah, I will. I'll get in touch with her. That's
she's,
great.
She's follow really her. On the point of what these Marxists are doing internal to this country. And I think Barack Obama and the rest of them are, exemplars of it. She does too.
Yeah.
In a post-America, post-constitutional world, they think they will profit with the new powers. I think they will be gone right out of the gate. But here's something that I just would invite your audience to reflect on. And you too, of course. Virtually every single one, maybe not Jeffrey Epstein, but virtually every one of the other folks that you mentioned just now has at some point or another, and in most cases, repeatedly, done what I did, which is swear an oath to God to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I mean, I think we agree that we're in the midst of a spiritual war here. And that betrayal of a solemn oath to God is just one clue as to who it is we're dealing with. And I think you've put it very pointedly. This is diabolical.
Yeah.
What we're engaged in here is nothing less than the ultimate struggle between good and evil. And, are we perfect as a society? Heavens knows we're not. In fact, my greatest concern, honestly, about whether God is still on our side is all that we've done to give him cause not to be.
Right.
But I believe and I pray fervently that, he hasn't abandoned us, because with him, all things are possible, of course, and without him, we're doomed, I'm afraid.
Yeah. It's every day I wake up, I know that, but for the grace of God, do I do this? Because I you've taken the slings and arrows for 20 years. I'm just getting started, and it is not fun, and it is not okay. And these people that are trying to destroy our country are trying to destroy anyone that speaks out. We've all seen ample evidence of not just censorship. I mean, I was kicked off of YouTube for having on people that now it turns out everything they said about COVID was true.
Right.
But people are getting kicked off all the time of every platform. The media, CNN and MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post. I mean, where are these people's souls? Like you're talking about, these people took an oath. Where are the brave ones? Where are the people that do know about Epstein's blackmail ring, whether they were caught up in it or not, that are saying, listen, I was there. This is what happened. I mean, the level of control some group of people, I bring up a lot on my show because I read Garrison's book about JFK's assassination and whatever anyone thinks of it. Fletcher Prouty has a part where he's telling Garrison, basically, because I believe the original coup happened the day they killed JFK, if I look at my estimation, when this group, this oligarch billionaire class that I think is really the puppet masters here, in my opinion, my mind, and it's global, it's not American. I believe that what he said was, ask why they killed him, who benefited, and most important, who benefited from the cover-up? Because it's the people that did the cover-up that are the most powerful people, and I believe that they are still the most powerful people when you look at that we still aren't allowed to know all the evidence of JFK or anything else, and the reason of national security. Mm-hmm. So our country is in a situation where I believe, I found this word kakistocracy a few years ago, a nation ruled by the worst, most unscrupulous people. But I'm at a place where I'm looking at DC and at all of these people, and I'm thinking, so you all are threatened so much so that none of you, not one person connecting to either Epstein or, Obama or the Clintons or whatever's going on in Ukraine, not one of you is willing to come forward, but all of you are willing to put your time, effort, energy, and money into lawfaring this nation, and at that time, Donald Trump, into destroying America from within to save yourselves, because nothing else makes sense except for that the people that control the purse strings and the power of our nation protecting themselves. Nothing else makes sense because they do not care about taking down America to protect themselves and with it, all of the people of this nation. And at this point, it just seems like that's the only logical explanation.
You know, one data point that I think actually reinforces your conclusion is whether you're back at, you know, the JFK murder, or whether you're at any subsequent event, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop, for example, know, the more recent revelations about, you know, what was known back in 2018 about his dealings with Chinese intelligence. I mean, that and all that, the rest, where has the FBI been? You know, I grew up revering the FBI, as I think most people my age did. I think we entrusted to them enormous power, including, you know, countering domestic enemies. Yeah. And here they have been absolutely complicit, it appears, at least at the senior level, and obviously with enough of the, you know, working stiffs, the rank and file as well, to get away with it on successive, crimes for one thing, but also conspiracies and covering them up. And I just have to say it is demoralizing in the extreme if you believe that, again, those oaths are supposed to mean something and that there is a duty to protect our country if you have been entrusted with this kind of power. And in so many instances, not only have they not been doing that, in the FBI especially, but the Central Intelligence Agency and other organizations of our government as well, weaponized the Department of Justice, they've been working, I think, to advance the causes of our enemies.
Yeah, it does appear that way. And again, the only logical explanation here is that whoever is pulling the strings, whoever's running the money, I call them the billionaire oligarch, multinational class of these people, these so-called elitists that are above our government, they must be so compromised that they are willing to destroy this nation and many nations around the world to protect, it can only be themselves, from crimes that they've, or the people that they know, or that they're, you know, when you read, I don't know if you know about Whitney Webb's book, One Nation Under Blackmail, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot in that book that is, I'm sure, 100% true and very shocking. And this has gone on for a very long time. But again, you would think that there were heroes in the midst and no one's showing up to say, you know what, this is what happened. And that leads me to something, because you worked for Reagan, you've been in DC for years. Have you, what's most disturbing, I never got my Twitter back. So I started over, I have a very small account. So it lets you see a lot more of what's going on there. Who's being amplified, who has hundreds of thousands of subscribers and is putting out nonsense and feeding the fire. But there's an ilk on the left that does not exist on the right. And I wonder if you've ever seen anything like this in your history in politics or journalism or investigations or homeland security in general. And then these are people that are supposed to be respected. I'd say ones that stand out are Lawrence Tribe, Robert Reich, Michael Hayden, Andrew Weissman. These people hate. And when I say hate, I mean hate, want us dead or in prison. Anyone who voted for Donald Trump. I mean, the things that they put out there and say with positions of power that they hold or held is so jarring to me every time I see it. And it's not about Donald Trump. It's literally about all conservatives. The thing that they've named MAGA Republicans that don't exist. People that are cheering on this guy that put out a song about you know, the rich men north of Virginia. They hate they hate to the point that it's very scary being somebody who had family in the Holocaust and knows a lot about Mao's China and the Bolshevik Revolution, othering people. Yeah. These people are out there othering Trump supporters, conservatives, Republicans, and this goes with the Squad and MSNBC and CNN and New York Times, to the point of, if we all got rounded up, put in camps, they would be happy. Have you ever seen this in America before? Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what. Be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
Not during my lifetime. I don't know whether, you know, when Japanese Americans were interned, one would say, well, there's something comparable. But I don't think even that would, you know, compare. And I honestly have to say, I haven't followed those guys on Twitter, so I'm not sure that I can personally attest to what you're saying. But I think it sounds right. And certainly it's true of the broader culture. And, you know, when Donald Trump says, you know, it's not about me, I'm just in the way, they're they're looking for you, they're coming for you, I think that's about right. Now, he happens to be a convenient, you know, proxy for them, and they certainly are making hay with his various, you know, challenges and shortcomings and so on. But I think your point that I strongly concur with is we're in a moment where the othering of Americans, and I think it's the vast majority of Americans, by the way, the people who like us, love this country, love our Constitution, love freedom, want to continue to enjoy all of them as we have known them, and want to stand against people who want to destroy them, are somehow now being cast as the enemy, domestic terrorists, extremists, you know, enemies of the people, whatever. And to the extent there is no media to speak of, I mean, our efforts notwithstanding and a few others, that are speaking up and challenging these narratives and saying they must be not simply refuted, but they must be held accountable for promoting them.
Yeah.
And some of the people that you've mentioned are, of course, people who are regarded as having served with distinction in various capacities. Tribe is, you know, endlessly bruited as a guy who should be on the Supreme Court. Michael Hayden was a four-star general, as well as a CIA director. Reich is labor and so on. And the point is that when people like them feel that they are both comfortable doing what they're doing, throwing in with the anti-American sentiments, that are clearly really their purpose, their motif. It is a very dark day for the Republic.
Yeah, it's you know, it's disturbing the most, because I agree that this is a spiritual battle. And like I said, but for the grace of God, I would have run away a long time ago. But I have to say, it's the hatred. It's the deep-seated, ugly hatred, the opposite of love, the opposite of empathy, the opposite of compassion. They have everyone saw Joe Biden's red stage in Philadelphia. He hates the MAGA Republicans, which he means all Republicans, because on Joy Reid's show and Nicole Wallace's show, all the guests they have on, it's always all Republicans. And most people, there's far right Republicans. And I'll tell you what, you pick any one of these people on the right, anyone you want, Steve Bannon, all the way to, you know, Donald Trump, whoever you want. I don't hear hatred for other human beings. They hate us. That is what I hear. I hear hate. I hear othering. I hear contempt. I hear throw them in the gulag. You know, they don't deserve any rights. They're traitors, when none of that is true. But it's the absence of compassion, empathy, and love in everything they say and do. And it's all over the internet. The internet is such a cesspool. But I have to tell you, they do it on these shows, and the media that they have in their pockets do it. It's I hope people in America, on whatever side, understand the absence of love is the end of everything. And these people, they hate. And it's just, it's scary.
Can I just suggest that there's an obvious method to this madness? And it is madness. Casting, you know, people like us as people trying to tear down our country. What it does, as you understand so well, Mel, is it makes an awful lot of Republicans run away.
Yeah.
Want to be, you know, identified as part of the uniparty, if you wish, or the, you know, the other side for that matter, or the controlled opposition at best, however you want to characterize it. But they don't want to be associated with, you know, any other, you know, other. And consequently, I think this has been succeeding brilliantly for them in dividing the ranks of people who otherwise would be generally aligned on behalf of our nation.
Yeah.
And to the extent that that is successful, whether it's in the hands of the MSNBC hosts or whether it's the, you know, the Biden Justice Department or, you know, special prosecutors and DAs and so on all over the country, it's coming down to trying to marginalize a very substantial part of the population. And the only beneficiary for all of that are the totalitarians that we're talking about, who seek our ultimate destruction and frankly don't care which Americans they will be eliminating when they have their day. And that's something that, again, ought to help join us in defense of our country in this very dangerous moment.
Yeah, and the hard part is the people like you and I that are also working at the news channels, especially the ones on the Council of Foreign Relations, that I think are more loyal to them than they are to we, the people of the United States, and the Atlantic Council. You look at some of these people that are involved in the media and their alliances with some of these groups that are, you know, clearly not looking out for our country, our best interest. Of course, as Michael Savage would say, border language and culture are totally thrown. All of that is repugnant to them, that concept that should matter. You know, it's just very clear to me that they are done with America. And I wish that the American people, I'm actually finishing up a book right now, because it's called Americans Anonymous. And what it's about is empowering the individual American citizen to take what's happening to this nation personally and understand that it's not like, oh, I'm not involved in politics, I don't care about that. No, no. What's happening to this nation is affecting you personally, and you should be taking it personally. You are blessed by God to be born here. You should be taking what they are doing to your homeland personally. You know, growing up, we all came from somewhere. It was like, I loved that my mom's family was Italian and all our Italian traditions and all of that. Well, people used to love being American and be proud of it. And they're trying to take that away from you, and you should have a problem with it without just thinking, first, I'm on a side. And so what are your thoughts on that, on taking back personal responsibility? Because I think that this has a lot to do with the upside down relationship that has come to pass, certainly after, you know, I really do pinpoint JFK's assassination is when it started. But our relationship with the government, with these elected officials that are supposed to be representatives of us in this constitutional republic, they are representatives of those who voted them in. And right now, it's very clear that they are not representing us. And we, the people, have to change that. They're not going to change. We have to change.
No, that's right. Look, my thoughts on it are that, to pick up on your point, God blessed us by letting us, in many cases, be born in this country, live in this country, prosper in this country. He also, I think, blessed us by putting us here at this time, a time such as this. And it reminds me of one of my favorite Reaganisms. You know, I had the privilege of working for him. And so I had a feeling for this as a practice, not just as an abstraction. He said repeatedly, every generation faces an existential threat to freedom. It isn't passed on in the bloodstream. It has to be fought for and defended and then turned over to the next generation to do the same. And then he said this wonderful, he didn't say it all the time, but on occasion he would add this further riff. And it's something that I want everyone in this audience to take to heart. He said, if we don't do that, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was like to live in the United States when men were free. So it falls to us, Mel, in this moment that God has entrusted to us to do that. And when you talk about accountability, I think that's where it starts. We might at some point talk a little bit about
our
book,
right,
The Indictment. But it's a central thesis of that book is that right. We have to hold accountable, and we have to indict, prosecute, impeach, force resignations from those who are aiding and abetting these enemies trying to take down our country through these various means we've been discussing.
Yeah, and to me, it's also obvious. And I, at this point, when somebody says, I don't really get involved in politics or this and that, I think, like, it's not politics, it's life. It's humanity. Mm-hmm. It's our future. We should care more about what you're saying, which is the children that haven't even been born or thought of yet, maybe not even, like, the kids that are going to have those children might not have America. And that is where we are. And people, there's just a faction of people that feel like, God's got this. Everything's going to be okay. It's just another period in time. Then there's the faction that's like, wants the demise of America, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think the vast majority in the middle is looking at this and wants solutions. And that does bring me to your book, Indictment, because you have some very good solutions in there. And the biggest solutions, I believe, are figuring out what the individual citizens can do through their states. Because I fully believe that I think lobbying should be illegal. I don't think that, I honestly am at a point where I think everyone in Congress and Senate and the executive branch and governors, they should all have open books, transparent communication, all of that as if they are employees of we the people as they are. But there's so many other things going on behind the scenes, lots of unconstitutional agencies that have powers they shouldn't have. Very scary. I hope people understood this week came out. Not only is John Podesta running the infrastructure bill that was the Green New Deal that they rebranded as they told with a fraudulent name, but he's running all that money, you know. And then John Kerry is running billions of dollars as the climate czar. Both of these men involved in so much criminality against we the people for decades, yes. With unlimited purse strings. You got power. Running USAID, my God, you know, we the people of the United States still have power, but what does that look like exercising that power when we are fighting these people that I believe have no allegiance, no alliance to our flag or our nation or we the people?
Well, I think this goes one of two ways. One, we begin in earnest holding them accountable now. Or two, very bad things happen to us, to our country, to, you know, our future prospects. And there's recriminations and there's, you know, retribution, you know, hopefully of a legal kind, that is meted out subsequently. It's obviously much preferable to understand the gravity of the present situation, the magnitude of the betrayal of such folks, and impeach, as I say, if they're in office, or otherwise hold them accountable, perhaps, you know, through, and there's a lot of talk about this at the moment, and I think you've been noodling it yourself, in the context of what this rogue DA in Georgia has been doing, bringing RICO prosecutions. Well, one advantage of RICO is individual citizens can bring racketeering charges against individuals engaged in criminal conspiracies. And honestly, I think we ought to be aggressively pursuing that possibility when it comes to individuals who are taking down our country through what amounts to real racketeering. And I don't think that's true of Donald Trump. But John Podesta has been dirty as the day is long for decades now. And the idea, as you say, and this is such a key point, what that so-called Inflation Reduction Act amounted to was $1 trillion+ slush fund.
Right.
To be simply poured into, yes, infrastructure, but mostly of the green kind for their political cronies and for the fundamental transformation of America. And that's what we're going to get if it's not corrected. And by that, we mean, of course, going back to Barack Obama's famous uttering of that on the eve of his first election, is the Marxist takedown of our country.
Yeah.
Including our business sector, our, you know, capitalist system, our, you know, government, yes, but also the private sector. And this brings me back to the convergence between, you know, the radical left here, what I call the Chinese Communist Party's friends, and the Chinese communists themselves.
Yep.
That is, they share this idea that this Marxist takedown of America will facilitate the installation of a new global governance arrangement under some pretty unsavory new masters.
Yeah. And like we both said, when you look at that and you do the forward looking, like, OK, let's say they get away with this and that, and it's going to be a hell on earth while they decide who's in charge on the other side of this for all of humanity. There is no good end to their plan. The end of their plan is the end of all people, because they will not stop if they get a little bit of this. So let's jump to your book. So you have this book, Indictment. It's about holding people accountable. What we do know from Hunter Biden's laptop, but also from things that have come out on both sides, of the Uniparty, I believe, are either compromised by whatever Jeffrey Epstein's blackmail ring was, whether he was working with, you know, he had his very closest friends were Clinton, Prince Andrew, Ehud Barak, and Harvey Weinstein. Okay. So whoever he was working for and with, blackmailing and blackmail, whatever that realm was, fine. But the Chinese Communist Party has been blackmailing our politicians for decades too. And they have a lot of information and a lot of technology and a lot of stuff too. So you got all these people that are compromised, it appears, at the highest levels of manipulating our government, that are making a lot of moves that do seem to benefit China.
Yeah.
And I think most American people see that. And yet, like you said, I think that it's going to be up to the American people, because quite frankly, I don't understand why there weren't impeachment hearings right away against Mayorkas. I don't understand why there weren't impeachment hearings right away against Biden, against Garland, against all these people. They're never going to do it, because the Uniparty, I believe, is fully compromised in one way or another. But I do believe that we, the people and the states, can actually do some of this. It would be a very good idea for people to start investigating where the money that John Kerry is running and John Podesta is running is going, because right, nobody is even looking into it. Nobody's allowed to, because it's not a priority, because they're forcing us to deal with all this distraction about Trump that's all fake, pretty much. And you know what? They're just hoping that they'll push it and convict him and whatever. It'll get to the Supreme Court and be thrown away while these guys get away with murder and destroying our country and raping us financially from the inside out. So for people that are watching this right now, what are your suggestions to them to start to be more active? What can the average, you know, it's funny, I said to G. Edward Griffin the other day on a show, I said, well, what can the average person do? And he said, the average person will never do anything. Be better than average, then you might do something.
Above average. So, yeah. Look, just a couple of things that I would just suggest in terms of framing this. I think the term compromised is insufficient. It suggests a kind of passivity or innocence almost. Captured is the term the Chinese communists use for what they've done to our elite. Selling out, betraying, you know, treason, whatever else you might want to say about it, I think applies as well. And that ought to be the starting point. If we really are now in the face of people betraying our nation, and I think that fortunately it applies to the controlled opposition. You ask, why haven't there been impeachments? Because, well, in the House where they have to start, we've had the controlled opposition. Those of us who urged, you know, that Kevin McCarthy not be made the Speaker of the House. And even when, you know, the good guys negotiated arrangements with him whereby they thought they could possibly sustain, you know, a decent Republican majority running the place, it hasn't worked out because Kevin McCarthy is part of that controlled opposition, and won't be able to do other than what he's doing. So to your question as to what can we do, you know, I think you're right that the closer you get to the people, the more likely power will be used appropriately. Hence, the founders' reservation of all powers other than the enumerated ones to the states.
Right.
Hence, the value of state legislatures to some extent, but mostly I think state attorneys general becoming engaged in some of these national issues that have tremendous bearing on states' rights and the liberties of their people. So to the extent that you are an above average citizen, and you take to heart the kinds of, you know, warnings that we've been describing, which, if anything, have been necessarily fairly superficial, frankly. I think it's worse than we've been able to get to. And again, if I may, the indictment, which focuses particularly on what I think is the ultimate of these transnational criminal enterprises, criminal organizations, the Chinese right. Communist Party, and its efforts with its friends in our country. And there's a very high, I think, correlation between its friends and the enemies domestic that we're talking about. Those people have to be held accountable. We've got 20 different items in this, you know, set of recommended actions that I think are places that people can start to some extent at the state level, to some extent they can do it with their own federal representation, to some extent they can do it within their own communities even.
Right.
And that includes things like, first of all, understanding the threats we're facing, and you do a marvelous job of this in your programs, and we try to in ours. We can help them understand the necessity of getting on a war footing which I think is absolutely required under the circumstances we find ourselves in. The Chinese communists are on one, and I think we need to be as well. We need to be, among other things, taking back these institutions that have been weaponized against our country. And the military is one of the most important of them, frankly. And if I could, Mel, there's one immediate action item that really needs our audience's help. And that is the appointment by Joe Biden of a general by the name of C.Q. Brown to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Please talk about it.
The current Air Force Chief of Staff, who was a combat pilot many years ago, and that's to be recognized and honored. But in the intervening years, as he has moved up the food chain, especially during Obama 1.0, Obama 2.0, and now Obama 3.0, he has become a very vociferous champion of critical race theory and diversity, equity, inclusion, and the transgender agenda, and the whole idea that climate change is the greatest threat we face, and so on. And what he has done to the Air Force in his role as its top officer has been to take it, according to our friends at the Heritage Foundation, and I have to confess, I started 35 years ago a think tank, and some of my friends work in think tanks, but there are think tanks and then there are
we know that some of them are compromised, obviously. Yeah.
Or
some
worse.
Of them are great. Like, we can't do without them either. It's the lobbyists we could do without, but keep going.
But the point is, the Heritage Foundation has said that in the 4 years that this guy has been running the Air Force, it's gone from having a strength and readiness that is described as marginal to one that is now very weak. I would think that alone would be sufficient to disqualify him for being promoted to run the entire military. But the other piece of it, Mel, and you understand this very well, is if you embrace Marxist policies, right, and he does, and whether they're the policies of the Biden administration or they're his own, doesn't matter. If you embrace them, if you extol them, if you seek to impose them on the only military we have, and you vote in the United States Senate to confirm a man who is doing that, well, you are implicated in the takedown of our military. And we must not let that go unaccountable as well. So there are things that I think the public can do in their own right, like getting clued up about these threats, becoming vocal in opposing them, making it clear that there is a majority of Americans out here who do not want our country thrown to the wolves of these totalitarians of one stripe or another, and who are standing at the ready to defend it. And that, I think, is the single thing that, again, going back to Ronald Reagan, is vital in our time, a time such as this.
I agree. Thank you so much, Frank Gaffney. I have to say that the hardest part about all of this is that you and I know that these people know what they're doing, and they know that they're 100%. Lying to us, and they know that they are propagandizing us to our own demise, and yet they continue and they continue. And you have to wonder, you know, every day, you and I know it, this is a between good and evil, God and the underworld. And I have to tell you, all of these men, including the guy you just brought up in the military, they know that all of that, what they're doing, they do know. And I just wish people would stop, like you said earlier. And I really appreciate that. They're not compromised. They're captured. No. And that is the only explanation. Frank Gaffney, you're amazing. I followed you for decades. To think that I have you on my show is so exciting and such an honor. Your book is a really important read for everyone. People always ask me what they can do. There are a lot of suggestions in this book. There's a lot of connections. I know my audience also loves Trevor Loudon. Both of your books together really explain exactly where we are, exactly what's going on. And most important for my audience, please read these books, get these books, articulate it the way that you can to other people, because people, once they understand, they have righteous indignation about what is happening to their country, and they will take it personally. The goal is that every American citizen takes it personally enough to do something themselves. Thank you so much, Frank Gaffney. Where can people find you and find your show?
I'm in a number of different places. SecureFreedom.org is our mothership, Center for Security Policy. Present Danger China is where you can find 100 plus webinars that we've done that fed this book. The book is at theindictmentbook.com. Great. Our television and radio shows are on securingamerica.tv, as are my commentaries, and I'm at Frank Gaffney on the usual places. Could I just also say rejectgeneralbrown.org is a place you can go to action right now to tell your senators you do not want this man confirmed as the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Thank you, Mel, so much.
Thank you so much, sir. I'll see you again. It's my pleasure. And yeah, everyone, step on that. And please get the book and find out where to go, what to do, and some action steps for yourself. I'll see you next time. Thank you, sir. As you know, I love Mike Lindell. He's been a pal of mine and a supporter of the show. And honestly, he is a warrior for America. He is not giving up on this country. He is not giving up on you. He's not giving up on freedom and truth and justice. And that means that you should be going to MyPillow, because so much is going on over there. Two pillows for $19.98, giant sale for the 20th anniversary. There's an overstock sale for 80% off, which is awesome. We love the slippers. Well, everyone loves the dog beds. Everyone, there's so much over there. And what you have to know, I love Mike Lindell. We have been all over the country with this man. He is a tireless warrior for America, for God, for country, for truth, and for justice. He is not giving up. He has an event coming up. Again, he has a whole nother event. He's got more evidence. He's going to keep fighting. He's going to keep going. That means that you have to also support him. But the best part about him is he supports me and other creators, and it really matters. He's keeping a lot of truth out there by giving me a code called the Mel K code. So if you go to themelkshow.com, go to our partners page, scroll down, you hit the My Pillow, you're going to take you right to the Mel K page. Use the Mel K code when checking out. It really, really makes a difference. I can't tell you guys how much I am so grateful to all of you. Everyone that have donated or gone to my partners, they are all vetted. They are all America first. Mike Lindell is an amazing man. We need to support his mission, and you guys supporting him and supporting me and using the Mel K code is really making a huge difference. There are so many, so many great things on that site. I will tell you, these are the best towels on planet Earth. Great specials right now. They're always doing something great over there. Support me, support Mike Lindell, support the United States of America. Enjoy the show, and I'll see you on the other side. Oh, I hope you're enjoying the show. I was just talking on my new Patriot Mobile service. I have to tell you, I'm so excited. They are incredible. They are America first. They align with my values. And you know what? It's unlimited minutes, unlimited text, Wi-Fi calling, unlimited data, high speed, everything that you could use, just like everyone else. We have our time, we have our vote, and we have our money. And the great thing about Patriot Mobile is your service will be exactly the same. Difference with Patriot Mobile is they are an America first company. And what they do is they reinvest their money into causes that matter to me and matter to you and matter to this nation. At Patriot Mobile, those causes are the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the Constitution, and our children's future. So please go to themelkshow.com. Patriot Mobile is a partner of ours. Please use the code MELK. What I can tell you too is that they are supporting me and they are supporting creators because they believe in the First Amendment. They believe that censorship is wrong and they are going to put their money where their mouth is. Do what you can for the creators out there that are doing what I'm doing. Please go to Patriot Mobile, MELK Show. All I can say is thank you so much, guys. Supporting my partners supports me, and Patriot Mobile is absolutely awesome. I checked them out. We're switching to Patriot Mobile, and we hope you do too. Thank you so much.